Exploring the Lord's Prayer, as if exploring a great house. A reading from Lord, Teach Us to Pray, published by Parva Press. Lead us not into temptation. Surrounded by so many dangers, who or what can tempt us? What are the sources of temptation? From the prayer itself, logically, the first answer must be God. God, our Heavenly Father, may lead us into temptation. He will not entice us to do wrong, as the letter of James makes plain. Our Heavenly Father would never tempt us to do that which he hates. He may, however, lead us into situations where, because of our own passions or weaknesses, because of pressure from those around us, or because of Satan's games, we will face strong encouragement or temptation to do wrong. Not surprisingly, many people have stumbled over these words. How can it be that God would lead us into temptation? Surely there must be some mistake. Well, in a sense there is. It lies in our use of old and treasured words, even when they have several shades of meaning. We'll be hard-pressed to find a better word than the all-embracing word temptation, but need to bear in mind that acknowledging our weakness, we are asking that our Heavenly Father would not bring us to times of overwhelming trial or testing. In the sense of trials and testings, temptations can be good or they can be bad. They can so easily cause us to fall, and yet, successfully resisted, they can strengthen us and enable us to grow and live more boldly for God. In this positive sense, each disciple needs to grow in ability to face temptation. For a moment, we leave the splendour of the house and step outside to the coach houses and stable block. Great houses have always had very extensive stables, often clustered round a straw-blown stable yard. It's only during this last 100 years or so that motor cars and tractors have replaced horses, reducing the stabling and riding of horses to a leisure pursuit. Until then, almost everyone would learn to ride, as today almost everyone learns to drive. Learning to drive, or learning to ride, is a risky and testing time, a time of temptation. As a son of the house learns to ride, for example, he'll first be placed in the saddle of the smallest and most dependable pony, and gently led a few paces. But there will come a time when the youngster is first allowed to ride out into the open country and onto the road. What a temptation! What a risk! The pony might bolt, or the lad, as yet without practical experience or road sense, might gallop away in a crazy manner. Yet unless he's allowed out of the stable yard, he will never learn to ride. And so it is with us. God is the best of fathers. His will is our ongoing growth as disciples. His aim is that we might stand strong and spiritually mature through days of temptation. We will only stand firm in such times if before then our Heavenly Father has allowed us to grow by leading us through many times of testing and trial. We often admire the spiritual giants among us, but it is salutary to ask them to tell us some of the many sore trials they have faced, the trials that have brought them to the strong and radiant faith we now so envy. As we pray, the Lord has given us an opportunity to stop and remember that we are weak and frail and set in a fallen world, a world full of danger and hurt, physical, mental, and spiritual, and to pray for God-given wisdom and protection. Lord, watch over us. Please keep us humbly aware of the dangers that surround us, growing in ability to face them, and safe. Do not let us be tested beyond the little we can stand. Although temptation is always an opportunity to grow in spiritual strength and maturity, it's also a snare that would cause us to stumble. Even a mature and able rider can be thrown by a slip, a stone, a branch, or a frightened horse. The most mature disciple is equally vulnerable. We do need to learn to walk humbly, to pray frequently for protection, discernment, wisdom, and grace. In this petition, our Lord teaches us to do just that. Temptation from the world. The world around us is our great testing ground. It cares nothing for God or godly ways. It will present us with an attractive and brightly lit supermarket display of alternative lifestyles, faiths, and worldviews. Like shoppers, we're enticed and urged to choose for ourselves and be uncritical of the choices of others. True Christianity, judged to have passed its sell-by date, is generally presented as a museum corner of musty and outdated hymn books, damp and dark churches, strange robes and rituals that have little or no bearing on real life. The world will also tempt us with shortcuts to fame and fortune, often make us instant millionaires, owners of our own stately home. It'll tempt us with sharp practice in business and less than integrity in dealing with other people's money. Although the law and codes of practice aim to restrict these things, there will always be the pressure and the powerful temptation to search for loopholes or weak points in the fence of the law, or places where it can be moved a little for our personal or corporate gain. In business and at home, we'll be tempted to put ourselves first, regard everyone else as disposable. Trust and honourable dealing are closely tied to godliness. And so for the disciple, the Christian, this fallen world presents a whole minefield of temptation. Temptation from within. Our own flesh will tempt us in so many ways. We'll be enticed to throw off the inhibitions of godliness and seek self-fulfillment, self-gratification at every level. We'll be tempted to be carried along by our moods and feelings. Anger, resentment, and black moods take a conscious effort to manage in a God-honouring way. But the temptation will always be to give them free rein, to give vent to our feelings by taking it out on those around us. We'll be enticed to throw off outdated morality, enjoy ourselves, and be free. Being human, we'll be sorely tempted to cut free from the narrow path of discipleship and join in. And do I not burn with passion? Asks the Apostle Paul, as he speaks of another man's fall. King David, a full-blooded warrior, sent his troops to fight while he spent an idle spring in Jerusalem. Looking from the rooftop resting place of his royal palace, his eyes fell on a beautiful woman bathing. Maybe she intended it to be that way. The temptation was overwhelming, and the outcome, adultery, intrigue, manslaughter, and a home life dogged with difficulty. In the course of his duty, Joseph, as a young and handsome slave in Egypt, found himself passionately desired by his master's wife. It's the occupational hazard of a resident helper or au pair. For Joseph, the invitations were incessant, the opportunities plentiful. But by the grace of God, he stood his ground, holding his master's marriage in honour. Far be it from me to sin against heaven and my master. The lady's determination and passion grew. And the moment came when Joseph's priority was to get out, to escape. Says Scripture, flee fornication, unashamedly run from it. Faced with the devil, stand your ground. But faced with immorality, show your heels. Sometimes we need to get out, whatever the taunts or threats. For Joseph, it meant prison. But under the hand of God, it was also the pathway by which he was led to great usefulness. God honours those who honour him. Spiritual warfare. Our Heavenly Father is in control of all our circumstances, poverty or plenty, war or peace, life and death itself. But under his hand, the world will tempt us with its delights. The flesh, our own anger and so on, will leave us wide open to temptation. And Satan, always in the background, will seek to play on our human weaknesses and on our circumstances for his own ends. Behind our daily small temptations to stray from God's holy ways lies the great temptation to rebel against God. We may be gently lured away little by little, like sheep eating one delicious patch of grass after the next, until we've strayed very far from godly ways and thinking. Or we may come suddenly, under great pressure, to deny the faith and turn our back on God. In the Old Testament, the great temptation of Job to curse God and die was of this nature. Pray that our Heavenly Father would spare us from such terrible temptation. Pray for those imprisoned, even now, for their faith, and enticed with the promise of instant freedom, if they will deny their faith and assent to some other faith, philosophy, or world view. The great tribulation of which the New Testament warns must be of this nature, times when Satan and his servants do all in their power to seduce, crush, and disinherit the saints of God. We deceive ourselves so easily and are so blissfully unaware of the dangers in which we stand. Like little children who would just run into the road, we so easily run into a situation in which we're overwhelmed by difficulty or temptation. That's exactly what happened to the Apostle Peter. Jesus had warned him that Satan would tempt him, but Peter said, "Lord, they may all fall away, but I'll stand firm even to death." Peter didn't know himself or the overwhelming nature of temptation. He didn't know the danger in which he was running. He was so sure of his own strength that he rushed into terrible testing. Then, confronted by ordinary people who identified him as one of Jesus' disciples, the great apostle totally collapsed. However, before you condemn Peter, put yourself in his position. The Lord had been violently arrested and was facing death. The accusation is made. You were there. You're one of them. How would you react? It's easy to point the finger at Peter, but if on your immediate answer hung imprisonment or freedom, life or death, would it not appear wiser to say, "I never knew him"? The temptation is absolutely overwhelming, and that is the nature of temptation. Yet, like Peter, we so easily rush into it. They were no fools who taught us to pray morning by morning, that we might fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger. The world will squeeze us into its mould. The flesh is weak and vulnerable, and Satan, who plays on our circumstances, will turn them to trip us. If we're young, we'll be invited many times to join the party. Enjoy yourself, break free, forget God and the inhibitions of godly living. If we're poor, we'll be sorely tempted to steal. They have so much, I have a right to it. If we're fit and well, we'll be tempted just to forget God in the whirl of sport and family, pleasure and business life. If we're successful and rich, we'll be tempted to put God out of our thinking. No need of God. Should we fall seriously ill, we'll be tempted to self-pity, to murmur against those who are looking after us. They don't really care. They haven't noticed how terrible I feel this morning or that I need. Self-pity is the temptation exactly matched to those who are unwell, the same temptation made directed towards God, to doubt his goodness. If God really cared, would he leave me in this situation? Or to doubt his power. Is God really in control? There's an almost infinite variety of temptations, each presented by and hence precisely matched to our particular situation. It's for this reason that other people's temptations are always so much easier to face than our own. Their temptations would never trip us up, but our own are much more difficult. Each temptation, each time of testing, is an opportunity to grow, to make a God-honouring response, or to tumble. Praying for one another. Do notice that we're not just praying for ourselves. Here, as throughout the Lord's Prayer, it's us and our, not me and my. Certainly, lead me not into temptation as I face this particular situation or person, but also us and our. Countries, families, companies, and churches are all being constantly tested and can be sorely tempted. In the far-reaching decisions that are made, the temptations for short-term gain, for exploitation, for worldly but ungodly ways, are very great. Therefore pray that they, or we, as we play our part, may not be led into temptation, but may stand with godly integrity and courage. Such prayers have by no means passed their sell-by date. In the opening chapter of the Old Testament book of Job, we're shown Job praying for his family. He's praying for his sons in their eating and drinking and making merry. Lord God, there are so many dangers. Lead them not into temptation. Forgive them where they've fallen. Keep them safe. What a helpful pattern for our own praying. The Lord himself in the garden, before his arrest, urged the disciples to pray that they might not fall into temptation. He also prayed for them. Peter, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat is sifted, to test you and tempt you very severely. But I have prayed for you. But I have prayed for you. How many of us have cause to thank God for those who prayed for us in worldly, fleshly, God-forgetting days as Satan sought to test us. I thank God for a praying grandmother who prayed while I wandered blissfully unaware through the spiritual minefield of student days. Father, lead us not into temptation. We pray that you'd keep us and those we care about safe. May we not be squeezed by the world, driven by the flesh, or manipulated by Satan to do what seems so desirable in the moment, but is ungodly or ultimately destructive. Give us increasing discernment, wisdom, and courage to live for you day by day.